Welcome to another sparkling edition of Plank of the Week. We have The Plank here, and we have The Plank panel to my left, Dawn Neeson, famously former editor of Daily Star, now columnist, star of stage and screen. Kevin O'Sullivan, of course, also formerly newspaper titan, now a talk radio host of The Breakfast Show at the weekends. We've got an awful lot of planks to go at again, guys, I'm afraid.
So many to choose from.
I think because of what has happened all over the place this week, I think we might as well say, rather than nominating Harry and Meghan, we'll just carry them over. As we did last week
just,
and the week
just
before.
Permanently.
Just a kind of
it's
permanent
like
carrying
permanent
over.
Long division,
and I can reveal
it?
At the moment that on the tally of who's Plank of the Year so far, they are far and away the champions. Somebody's going to have to do an awful lot of catching
she's
up.
She's going to be the next president of the United States.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. Kevin, why don't you kick us off with your first nominee?
Harry and Meghan. Oh, no. They're always going to be lurking in the Plank background, those two. So my first nomination is Baroness Jenny Jones, who, you know, we all know that what happened to Sarah Everard is an absolute tragedy, a kind of disgrace, it seems, as well, because it's not for me to say anything about what women are protesting about. They know what they're going through, and millions of women seem to be saying that the streets of this country are not safe for them. And in the light of what clearly happened to Sarah Everard, you have to have sympathy for that. So it is a situation that has to be taken seriously. It's a situation that needs debate. It's a situation that needs the government to do something. It needs politicians, for once in their useless lives, to get up and do something practical to make this country better in terms of safety for women on the streets of this country.
Well, don't so ask that, Jenny Jones for any advice.
Yeah, that taken, what doesn't help is when an A-grade lunatic like Green Baroness Jenny Jones stands up in the House of Lords, a peer of this realm, and one of the people that we entrust to make the laws of this land, stands up and says that in response to Sarah Everard, the thing to do is to ban all men from the street after 6 p.m. A complete curfew at 6 o'clock at night, no men allowed on the streets after that. That way the streets will be safe for women. I mean, not only is that completely insane, totally damaging to what should be a sensible debate, it is also practically impossible to bring about. You can't enforce that. It would be ridiculous. What about blokes who work at night, etc., etc.?
Well, I mean, you could enforce it.
Give their jobs to women. Know,
yeah, just
yeah,
give
well,
all the jobs
quite,
to the
yeah,
women.
Yeah.
You know, but it's bad news for for all the Uber drivers who are men, and bad news also for Just Eat and Deliveroo and all those guys who work at night.
Yeah.
And also for people like, I don't know, Hugh Edwards.
Men he would be able to do the news. Stay at home, look after the kids, get women out there doing all the
talking of Hugh Edwards and Welsh people, of course, the First Minister
said he would do it as
First
well,
Minister
he?
Of Wales, Mark Drakeford, was in there as quick as he could, saying that he was seriously thinking of doing this in Wales.
And the SNP, I think, were quite keen.
Overnight, he had to change his mind and say, that's mad.
I know.
Jenny Jones, who tried to wriggle out of
didn't
it.
Didn't she try and say it was obviously a joke?
She was ironically trying to make a point. No, you weren't.
No.
This is par for the course for her.
Yeah.
She's got a track record of being mad as a box of frogs. and here she was again. I mean, you know, seriously, though, of course, everyone laughed her out of court. But this is a person who is entrusted with helping to make the laws of this land. And if that's the best they can do, let's get rid
she's
of
also
the
on the
laws right
Let's not
now.
Forget she's also on the public payroll, because every time she turns up, she gets paid and she gets expenses and all the rest of it.
But maybe the Green Party ought to think about themselves, think about this woman that represents in the House of Lords, and say, don't.
You're not saying she should be cancelled, Kevin.
I'm saying she should be.
We don't believe in cancel culture.
I think she should be cancelled for saying that sort of nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
Shocking.
All right. So, Jenny Jones, Baroness Jones, Baroness Barney.
Baroness Plank.
Baroness Barney Jones.
She might have had a point with some men. Just saying.
What do you mean? Well, it's not
just
a point.
Saying.
It's not the point,
I don't
is
think
it?
That's what
it's
she
not
means.
The point. You absolutely missed the point. Oh yeah,
no,
you're
that you just
like,
missed
acting
the point,
like
Kevin.
You think you wound me up. Oh man, I bow in awe to your superior intellect.
Come on, you guys. Would you stop squabbling?
I just can't handle this.
Listen.
And that's why women
that's the whole point. Some men, yes. All men, no.
But she meant you.
That point
no, but she meant you.
Is that such...
He doesn't get it still. She meant you.
God.
Come on. Let's have your first nomination.
How do men? So sensitive.
Yeah, see if you can get through it all right.
Come on.
Would you like to read it out for me?
Stop, stop bickering, you two, or else I'll have to cancel both of you.
What yes, rubbish Dad.
Have you come up? Come on.
Right, okay. Well, says the woman that wins every bloody week.
It's not a competition,
Dawn. It is a competition.
The rest of us try and move away from people like Harry and Meghan and Keir Starmer for originality, but you want to just go down that path. So who have you chosen this week? Boris Johnson? Boris Johnson? Keir Starmer?
Come on. Perish the thought that I would Sadiq choose Khan? A man. I'm choosing Shamima Begum.
That's rubbish.
You? Okay.
Yeah.
Well done.
I'm choosing a woman.
Yes.
Who is not allowed out at night or allowed out at any point, thankfully. Any case, this week, the lovely jihadi bride, who used to be a near neighbour of mine, ran away from East London to marry a murdering scumbag and join a death cult, as you do.
Yeah.
She has now had a makeover. In her
it's a rather bizarre makeup.
In a
isn't
Syrian
it?
Refugee
She's wearing
camp.
Sort of Sophia Loren
well,
sunglasses.
She's gone from the death shroud right. that she had to wear as a jihadi bride, obviously, to skin tight leggings, a trendy hoodie,
Hollywood, very long hair,
Hollywood style sunglasses, lip gloss, and pouts.
Yeah.
But she doesn't want to talk.
She's now looking more like an Instagram influencer.
She looked absolutely. She? I mean, she looks amazing.
Yeah.
But I mean, she didn't give an interview. She just pouted for camera.
Syria's sexiest siren.
Yeah, real. That's the thing. I mean, goodness gracious. Yeah,
so really, in other words, please let me back to Britain.
Yeah.
Well, quite. This is the whole point, isn't it? She did give an interview, so we still don't know what her attitude is to blowing up little kids at Manchester pop concerts.
Yeah.
However, she does look gorgeous. And what I really want to know, ladies, is how she managed to get a blow dry in a Syrian refugee camp.
Well, you can't get
Meanwhile,
one in East London. Maybe that's why she really went, because she couldn't get one in
London. Can't get one in Bethnal Green, where she's from. Meanwhile.
Exactly. Unbelievable.
In any case, it takes more than a blow dry, love. Stay where you are.
We do know what she thinks about the bombing in Manchester. She said that it was necessary as part of the struggle.
It was justified.
Justified.
So we do know what she thinks about that.
She also wasn't phased.
She's probably changed.
No, she must have.
Well, she changed her clothes. That's for sure.
Yeah, same idea.
She's planking as she can.
That's a very good nomination and very, very
welcome.
I would say. Now I'm going to go down the musical route with my first nomination because I never really liked Mumford and Sons that much. I always thought they were a bit.
Couldn't even tell you who they are.
Bit too big. Beardy and a bit too banjo-y. And you know, everything sounded a bit like the theme tune from Deliverance, you know. But anyway, it turns out they've got a banjo player and lead guitarist by the name of Winston Marshall, who is a complete plank, right? Now, initially, I was quite surprised to see this because normally you wouldn't expect it from someone who is, you know, in the creative industries, right? But he basically tweeted out on the 7th of March that he had read the book written by Andy Ngoe, who's, I think, pronounced No, isn't it? I think the G
Very
is silent.
Very possibly.
But he's basically an anti-Antifa American sort of polemicist, right?
Nice guy.
Who is a really decent guy, by all accounts, from people who have met him. He's been on Julie Hartley Brewer's show. He said, he's written a book called Unmasked, Inside Antifa's Radical Plan to Destroy Democracy. Finally had the time to read your important book, said Winston Marshall. You're a brave man. It turns out that he was also a brave man for doing that because, of course, because he gave any kind of succour and comfort to somebody who's considered to be very right-wing, when in fact you could argue that he's not any more right-wing than an awful lot of other people in mainstream sort of politics, right? He was absolutely given pelters by his fans. People from Mumford & Sons were deluging him with abuse. So much so that people started saying, "What is it? All he's done is endorsed a book. He's read a book. What do you want to do? Start burning books now?" Anyway, it only lasted a couple of days because he then had to completely reverse ferret himself because his band basically told him that he had done the terribly wrong thing. And listen to this as a piece of modern day wokery. "Over the past few days, I've come to better understand the pain caused by the book I endorsed. I've offended not only a lot of people I don't know, but also those closest to me, including my bandmates, and for that I am truly sorry. As a result of my actions, I'm taking time away from the band to examine my blind spots."
What?
Huh? And then he goes, "For now, please know that I realise how my endorsements have the potential to be viewed as approvals of hateful, divisive behaviour. I apologise as this was not my intention."
Yeah.
I mean,
get over yourself.
Really?
As if any author's going to go, "Can we get Winston Marshall of Mumford & Sons to endorse this book? That'll sell a few copies."
I mean, funnily enough, they've got a song which is called Little Lion Man, which he obviously is not.
No, it's just
a weasel. I'm going to say Little Weasel Man because that's what he is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I actually was quite impressed that he had the courage to come out and say that he quite liked Andy Ngoe's book. But, you know, don't then, you know, completely just turn a U-turn on yourself and make out that you're some...
Everybody has to apologise for everything every day now.
It's ridiculous.
I'm so sorry I had an opinion. I'm so sorry I read a book. Oh,
I know, it's madness, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Kevin, who's your second?
It is the Queen of Fashion, the regal editor of Vogue in America, previously editor of Vogue here, Vogue magazine, Anna Wintour, who has endorsed a member of her staff to write a piece accusing Sarah Vine of the Daily Mail, the columnist there, of racism, because in the headline over a piece she wrote about Harry and Meghan, saying that she had doubts about them, they used the term, I have niggling doubts about Harry and Meghan. Anna Wintour has unleashed the dogs of war at Vogue to say this is clear racism because the word niggling sounds like the N-word.
That's ridiculous.
It's absolutely absurd. Yeah. Absolutely absurd. Niggling, for the record, is actually a Scandinavian word. You know, so we can't start banning words because they sound like other words.
Yeah.
That's absolutely...
That's crazy, isn't it?
It's symptomatic of the insanity that is pervading the world right now and is particularly pervading Britain and America. And Anna Wintour, you know, who is desperately trying to prove that she's the Queen of the Wokies. This is, you know, really irresponsible for a journalist to get involved in this, throwing allegations across the Atlantic at the British press that they
and
are
racist.
And also
at Britain, effectively, as well.
Yeah,
right?
Well,
that
again, Britain there's is a lot racist, of that going on, isn't
and
there?
And that the royal family is racist. She's just trying to save Vogue from the criticism that it deserves by trying to deflect it at Sarah Vine. But, you know, if you must do that, I understand that there's commercial imperatives in journalism, and maybe she's just trying to make money for Vogue. I understand that. But for God's sake, find a sensible battleground to fight it on, not that you use the word niggling. How ridiculous. And by the way, Sarah Vine did not use the word niggling. It was just put in the headline. Anna Wintour and her acolytes, being that they're journalists...
She ought to know that.
...ought to understand
that
the journalist
not exactly...
does not write the headline. It's ridiculous.
You'll know more about this probably than me, but did she not come from a Fleet Street job?
Yeah, her dad was Charles Wintour, who was editor of the Standard.
Right, but was she not some?
No, she wasn't.
There might be a bit of nepotism involved there, but it's like the point we made with Oprah Winfrey last week. The point of journalism is you research, you prepare. You actually know what you're talking about most of the time. Okay, most of the
like
time.
Like we do.
Like we do, obviously. Yeah. and obviously, you know, if you're going to accuse somebody of that, at least look up what the word niggling means.
No. Who's your second nominee, Dawn?
Oh, another new entry, I think. I'm not sure who's been nominated before. Hugh Grant? Have we had Hugh Grant before?
Oh, I think he was on the list last year, certainly. Okay. He certainly made it into the top 20, I
think. Good to have him back. Good to have him back.
Welcome back,
Hugh.
Welcome
back. Missed you. In any case, Hugh Grant has given an interview, finally confessing on the fact that, yes, he did cheat on Elizabeth Hurley with our own prostitute, Divine Brown, in Hollywood all those years ago.
I don't think that was ever in any doubt.
Yeah, well, not really.
Well, no, he's never spoken about it, though, personally, has it? In any case, he has come up with the reason for it, and he said he did it because he was in a bad frame of mind.
Yeah, he was in a bad mood, wasn't he?
He's in a bad mood, but grumpy.
Yeah.
Which means you two should be in a brothel permanently.
Well, absolutely,
I mean, you
channel
grumpy. Mm. Any case, he'd just been to see his 1995 movie, 9 Months.
Which I haven't seen.
No, he hadn't been to see it. I'll tell you where he was. He was in the Four Seasons Hotel because it was a Friday night, and on the Saturday, I was due to go to the Four Seasons Hotel and conduct what would have been a very lucrative interview with Mr. Grant.
Oh,
and I never got it. So I've always hated Divine Brown for leading him astray.
Right, okay. Well, he said he went out, he was depressed by the movie because it was a bit rubbish in it, so he had a Ken Russell kind of lunch. What's that mean, Kev?
A large number of bottles, I think, would have been
consumed. And then was a bit grumpy, so he went and paid a prostitute.
So is he also now saying that not only did he go and visit a street hooker prostitute, but he actually took a bucket load of wine in before he actually got in the car,
Ken Russell kind
and then
of lunch.
Drove off in the car, because he drove the car.
Because they stuck him in the hotel for the junket, for the weekend junket. And, you know, I saw the film. I had to go on the Friday night.
I don't remember that film at all.
I did 9 months. It starred Tom Arnold, Roseanne Barr's husband.
Yeah. Is it really bad?
Oh, it's terrible.
Okay.
So I had to go and see it the night before in preparation. So we all had to go and watch this film in preparation to interview, among others, Hugh Grant. Of course, those interviews were not
about to take place. It transpired.
Oh my God, that
so
would have
wasted
been
our time. That's 2 hours. I'll never get back watching 9 months.
Any case, as great excuses go, that is.
I know. And what was funny was when that story came out, it's because Liz Hurley was, I think, talking about it on some podcast, wasn't she? And people were going, "Why are you dragging all this up again?" Because, of course, because he's big supported by the wokeries and the sort of Remainers.
Yeah, he's got a big.
Because if you remember, he
hacked off.
He got himself into politics and became one of those really annoying Remainers, right? And do you remember he endorsed about three or four different London MPs, all of whom lost. Lib Dems, Labour, hates the Tories, you know.
And he just always plays Hugh Grant, doesn't he? Basically? There is one more reason to nominate him, though, as well, is because he was in Notting Hill, wasn't he?
Yes.
Which is the film that has inspired every photo and shoot Harry and Meghan do these days. So,
yes. I must admit, I quite like Notting Hill.
It was in Love, actually, the worst film I ever made.
Ever.
Loads of members of my family love Love, actually.
Really?
But I've managed to avoid watching it all the way through, completely, for all of my life. But no. I did quite like Four Weddings and a Funeral, and I did quite like Notting Hill.
I quite like The Gentleman. He's good
the
in that.
Gentleman's really
the Gentleman's
really good. That is good.
Very good
he
in
is
that.
Good in that. But
he's a good actor.
He actually
Grant.
Does
no
play...
Doubt about it. He is
plays,
a very good actor.
He plays sleazy Hugh Grant in that, which actually is more
he's
like
it. They are really, really, really good on that one, Hugh. That
he's
must
a good
have been
actor.
A real...
He's a good actor. Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Okay, well, I'm glad you guys have found something to agree on.
I'm not denying that. I totally agree with your nomination.
But now, since we're going up with the big titles this week, Baroness Jones, I'm going to counter you with Dame Jenny Murray.
Very aristocratic edition
of Plank of the Week.
A touch of fool.
You might remember her as the presenter of Women's Hour on Radio 4, which she did for a very long time. And I think she was actually quite good at that. But she was kind of moved out of the way to be replaced by Emma Barnett because she wasn't considered to be kind of, you know, modern enough.
Oh, right.
But she appears to have, since having left the BBC, to have gone mad because she came out with an interview this week in which she said that basically what Brits should do is stop being so nostalgic for their past. And this is something that I don't think is quite rightly understood in this country. I mean, I don't know anyone that's nostalgic for the past. You know, they always kind of say, well, look at all these Tories, all they want to do is fly the flag and sing, you know, Rule Britannia. Well, not really, actually, but by the same token, we're not ashamed of it. But she reckons that we've got something to learn from the Germans, right? Because they discovered, I know, ridiculous, they discovered their past and they discovered their future by confronting their past and the Nazi era and how terrible it all was. And we should do exactly the same thing with the British colonial period.
We didn't tend to do any of the Nazi stuff, though.
No, I really don't think.
Really?
I really get annoyed when people start to make comparisons between the Nazis and something that we did in history, because quite frankly, nobody did anything like what the Nazis did.
No,
apart from perhaps Stalin and the Russians. Yeah, you know. But certainly there is nothing in the history of this country which, in any way, comes close to that.
Wasn't it this country that sort of abolished slavery as
well it was.
Back in the day?
Well, it was.
Yeah.
And I mean, imperialism was what all countries did throughout the 19th century and early 20th century. We were particularly good at it and went on to sort of take over all of the world. But it's another one of those issues that Britain was just behaving in the way countries did in those days. You can't blame a country because historically it fell in with the crowd.
And also, as Dawn says, in the end, actually, we didn't just fall in with the crowd because we ended slavery. Mm.
There is no equivalence between imperial British armies, if you like, and the Nazis.
No, there's just none.
And stupid
comparison. And it's shameful, actually, to make that comparison.
Yeah. Stupid comparison. Yeah.
But,
and
know,
shameful, I
yes.
agree.
So Dame Jenny Murray, my second plank.
Yeah,
Kevin, let's have your third.
I'm going for ITV.
Yes.
ITV.
I think that's a very good choice.
Yeah. Because I could go for CBS for its absolutely disgraceful, irresponsible, lying, cheating, doctoring of all the headlines they used in that Oprah interview. Kept cutting. Look at this headline. Yeah. Look at this headline. To prove that the British press was racist towards Meghan. A, half those headlines weren't even from British newspapers. The New York Post loomed large in those.
As did a bunch of Australian.
And Australia as well, Mike, you're right. And they doctored and changed the headlines to make, or took out the relevant bits to make it look as if the Mail had been racist. So there was one headline that said, Meghan tainted the royal.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Seed, and that's what they put up from the Daily Mail, as if the Daily Mail was saying that.
Yeah.
And actually, the headline said, "Meghan tainted the royal seed," says far right extremists in outrageous slur.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
ITV picked up all these lies that CVS had brought about by changing these headlines and taking in headlines from other countries to say they were written in Britain to put across the image that Britain was indeed racist, and probably that means the royal family's racist. And ITV slavishly just left all that in. Now, the Mail newspapers, Associated Newspapers, own the Mail and the Mail on Sunday, to their credit, officially complained to ITV and said, "You have propagated lies about this company,
Sarah Vine, which is a libel, isn't it?
And this newspaper."
Yeah,
yes, corporate,
is, yeah,
corporate libel, I think. And we demand that you take these down. And ITV had to shamefacedly take them all down.
Right. And they also allowed the situation to end up with them losing not only their best presenter, but their most popular presenter. Mm. They've lost 500,000 viewers in the process. Piers Morgan's left the building, and he ain't going back. And he's going to be more damaging to them outside of ITV because he'll start doing a show somewhere else, and they won't have him anymore. And also their share price went down. And, I mean, it's all gone horribly Tong, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I could throw in the dismissal of Piers Morgan because it wouldn't allow him to say what he thinks. So they turned ITV from the home of free speech into the home of controlled speech. You're not allowed to say all sorts of things. And as you say, Mike, they've lost half the audience. That programme is now dead. I can't imagine why Caroline McCall, the chief executive, thinks it's more important for the company to signal its own virtue rather than make profits. I wouldn't like to be a shareholder there. And also, as you say, because of that, the share price has plummeted. At one point, I don't know what the situation is now, but at one point, £350 million was wiped off the value of ITV because the company demanded that Piers said sorry for his beliefs and his opinions, and he refused to do it, so they have self-harmed in a major way. But I do think, technically, journalistically, ITV should be better than just stealing lies perpetrated by an American TV company. They should be better than that, even though they spent £1 million on the interview. I understand why they did it. If I was in television, I'd have spent £1 million on it as well. But I might have been a lot more careful about those headlines. It was a disgrace.
No tabloid would do that now, and if they did, they'd be taken to task over it. And what particularly annoyed me about that whole story was that it was CBS were the only news channel, or the only TV channel that actually put out the pictures of Diana dying
in the car,
in the car crash at the
time. You know, I didn't remember that when I saw that story this week. I was amazed because, you know, Harry surely should have had a thought about
that. Yeah, no, I did remember that, and that, and the fact that CBS were then the choice for Harry to talk about the evils of the British press.
Well, we should divest ourselves.
I don't think old Harry has much choice in anything, really, does he? As a sort of addendum to all of it, this is, I don't know if you've seen the news today that Gayle King, who's a friend of Meghan's, has gone on CBS this morning, today, to basically say that, Prince William called his brother at the weekend. But their conversation was not very...
Not fruitful, was the
productive,
word? Yeah,
productive,
was the phrase.
Now, that tells you an awful lot, because what it tells you is that whatever happens now, whatever the royal family tries to do with these two, it's going to get leaked to CBS.
It's going to get leaked to CBS.
And CBS are going to have a running commentary on the internal workings of a family and its own troubles. I think that's pretty disgraceful.
Which means at the bottom of this were those...
And these are the people who want privacy.
Exactly. The two brothers, though, who really should be trying to build their relationship, because it is important. It was so important to their mum, being serious for a minute, will never be able to build the bridges and get back together because it's just going to be on CBS the whole time.
Well, she won't allow it because it doesn't play to her strength, does it? Her strength is to cause division. Her strength is to take Harry away and complain about how terrible it all was. They're, you know, her, it's not for her to get back with the royal family.
Breaking Diana's
terribly,
heart.
Terribly self-obsessed.
Incredibly will not allow a single thing to be said or done about her without reacting and sending lawsuits and getting phoning ITV to say you can't say this. Mm. Piers can't say that I lied. You know, he should be able to say that he thinks you lied, Meghan. He shouldn't be able, he can't say she definitely lied, but he's got the right to say, in my view, she lied.
Yeah, exactly right. What's your final nominee?
I'm going to lighten the mood a bit. Shall I, boys?
Go on.
Sure.
I'm going to do Willie's.
Willie's.
Well, it's
whose Willie is Plank of the Week?
There's a lot of choice, isn't there? And this is Marks and Spencer's. Look, I love you, Colin Caterpillar. You know, brilliant.
Who's Colin Caterpillar?
You don't know who Colin Caterpillar is?
No.
Oh, my God.
Kevin's not up to speed on these modern day...
Percy Pig. You heard of Percy Pig?
Those are those...
They're little sweets.
Horrible sweet things.
Yeah. Well, Colin Caterpillar is a Green Wrigley version. This is shocked marks, shocked customers. Got some unexpected tips. See what I did there for Mother's Day with our with rude-looking pink chocolates.
That is very rude.
They are meant to be tulips, and if you've seen them in the box, they've got sort of like drawings of like leaves.
Where's the stem?
Look, you're going to see the picture, but I mean, it's there, Mike. See.
They're
drawings.
Oh, yeah, in the box they do look a bit more like
chocolates. Out and just
what do they taste like?
Yeah, am I ever going to put that anywhere near my mouth, ever?
Well, I'm not divine brown.
Don't chew those tulips, that's
all I say.
They're
quite small, aren't they? They're not actual size.
To my way of thinking, they're absolutely minuscule. It's extraordinary. Never seen them. What?
Any case, this
I don't recognise those at all.
It's another blunder from Marks and Spencer's, though. They make quite a lot of them, don't they?
Well, this comes on top of their Easter egg, which is not actually an egg at all. It's a throbbing purple aubergine shaped.
Is it really?
Egg.
Is it an aubergine?
It's an aubergine.
Why is it?
Well,
an Easter
they started taking an aubergine and said it's an Easter egg.
Because it was meant to be a woke, green, environmentally friendly thing.
I mean, they really should have
done this. Imagine saying to your kids, "Yeah, I've got you an aubergine." They'd be thrilled, wouldn't they?
And every kid,
hey,
knows
Dad,
what
have you heard
emoji?
Of Cadbury's?
I mean. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
I'm going to have to go and buy one because I'm just going to try.
Well, I imagine they'll be in the bargain bin now, aren't they? Bargain bin. So these are for Mother's Day as well. Imagine giving your mother. Yeah, Mum. Have a pink.
Yeah, Mummy's seen
that. You've like your Willy. Mum.
Here you go. Mummy's seen, you've seen that sort of thing before, haven't you?
Not for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, who has love? Any case, no, I didn't buy any for my mum, but I am tempted by the aubergine Easter egg.
I'm going to go and have a look for one of those, I'm sure. Now, my final nominee is Cressida Dick, because obviously it's been a big story.
Oh, seamless link.
Thank you. It's been a very busy week, hasn't it, for news? And one of the big pieces of news over the course of the weekend, of course, was the demonstration, stroke vigil, stroke protest that took place at Clapham Common following the horrible murder of Sarah Everard. You know, the vigil was supposedly not going to take place, then it did take place. And the reason I'm putting Cressida Dick up as a plank is because I think there were lots of different ways that that could have turned out. And the way that it did turn out, and I know that, I mean, I basically said this on Monday, that I think everybody involved has some kind of blame to share, because the people who started shouting at the police and started chanting at the police and chanting F the police and all of that was pretty unedifying. But if the police had been given better instructions, i.e., don't go steaming in at a march against violence against women, being violent to women. Mm. It's not a very good idea.
Yeah, totally.
It doesn't look very good. Yeah. I mean, I said to somebody, why could they not have at least made sure that the police officers that were there were women, which might have helped? Yeah. And I know that not all of the demonstrators in the end were women, but it was just a really, really awful thing. And she's been... her apparent reason for not quitting when she was asked to quit was that all of these people are armchair critics. Well, she seems to be an armchair chief of the Metropolitan Police.
Was she down there?
Anywhere.
Or was she sitting
in an armchair
somewhere?
Sits in an office, and ever since the Brazilian guy, Di Menezes, was shot dead by the police by accident, I don't really blame them for that, but she was in charge of that operation
as
well.
Yeah, and what was she doing in that operation? Sitting in a control room, looking at it on a TV camera.
And presumably giving the order to shoot.
Yeah, and she didn't even come out with this incident with the Clapham Common. She didn't even come out with it and read the statement out herself. She got her deputy, who also happens to be a woman, to read it out. And it was like, literally, well, you know, we were protecting people's health and safety by looking after these women. It's like...
And I mean, I'm sorry, but I mean, call me old-fashioned, but by putting somebody's arms behind their back, thrusting them onto the ground face down, I'm not really sure that that's protecting their health.
Cressida Dick lurches from one disaster to the next, and she has to surely go fairly soon.
Well, you would
I would have thought that what if they'd have thought about this, as you quite rightly said, Mike, you know, there was always the prospect that in a demonstration by women about violence against women by men, you'd end up with coppers looking like they were being violent.
Which is how it
male
looks.
Coppers.
Which is exactly
so there was always that disaster waiting to happen. Yeah. I would have thought in the light of that, and in the light of the fact that we are well down the roadmap to freedom, it's not as bad as the COVID situation when Black Lives Matter were demonstrating.
The police
should have had the common sense to say, do you know what, we'll let this go ahead. Right. We'll tell them, please observe social distancing.
And please get out of the way.
That way all the tension would have been taken out of the situation.
But instead what they did was they marched through the group of women, they marched to the front where the bandstand was.
They stood
all over the flowers, and you could hear things like, you know, candles being broken and
terrible.
All that. And also the fact that they did the complete opposite on Sunday night when there was a second demo in Parliament Square, and they let it happen. They didn't pile in. And it went away. Yeah. And that's what they should have done.
And I feel sorry for some of those cops. I mean, I don't think the trampling on the flowers was a good look. But they were given the order, you need to break this up.
No, I know.
This is against the law. That's what they were instructed to do.
But this is why I'm calling her the plank, not them.
Totally, absolutely.
It comes from on high.
They were given the wrong instruction. They should have let that. They should have allowed that demo to happen on the basis that, you know, you must have said it, I said it. I said, there's no, when they said we're... I was on the air in the morning when we got the press release from the Reclaim the Streets organisation saying we have cancelled tonight's demonstration because of the COVID crisis.
Right.
And I said on air, well, they might have cancelled it, but there's no way it's not going to happen.
No, exactly.
So there's the reality that it was always going to happen, and the police should not have banned it for that reason.
And the police, of course, as we know, have also been very inconsistent in how they've treated
different protests. Well, this is the point I was going to make. It's the double standards, isn't it? It's like, you know, when it's Extinction Rebellion, they dance with them, they go skateboarding with them. When it's Black Lives Matter, they take the knee. Those protests, whether you agree with how the police operated or not, were handled in a sensible way and very, very differently. Like the Rangers fans partying up in Scotland when they won the title.
Yeah.
The police could have gone steaming in there. They didn't.
Right.
All of these things broke the same COVID laws.
Mm.
So why four police officers ended up kneeling on a 28-year-old woman face down on Clapham Common in the dark is beyond me.
I know.
Double standards.
I know, just ridiculous. So anyway, she's not the first time she's been on it. Probably won't be the last. So in addition to carrying over the Harry and Meghan scenario, let us choose now the final three from the nine. So do you want to kick off?
Golly gosh.
Dawn with me, or do you want to pick Kevin's?
Who wants me to pick who? What?
I don't mind. Why don't you choose?
Okay, so what did I chose Baroness Jenny Jones for calling for an all-out curfew for all men after 6 o'clock.
She had a point.
No, you said some men. See, some men, I'll go along with that, but not all men. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Secondly, Anna Wintour and the Vogue operation. For saying that Sarah Vine was racist for using the word niggling, and ITV for the whole Piers Morgan debacle, but I think mainly because of taking without question the CBS's doctored, faked headlines to prove that the British press was racist. This was not true. Half the headlines were not British, and the headlines that were British were doctored and changed to make it look as if they were racist.
Yeah.
ITV should have known better, and as Mike quite rightly said, we'll also have ITV for being so stupid as to let their big banker Piers Morgan go purely because ITV said you're not allowed to express your opinions on this channel. So those are the reasons for
Okay. After careful consideration, and mainly because this was one of my nominations as well, but obviously I'll let you have it, I'm going to go with Jenny Jones. Because I think what she said was not, it was stupid and you can have a laugh about it, and we have. However, it was dangerous and divisive, and it's got certain groups of men going, bloody women. You know, it's it's not a good thing.
It's really not done the women's movement any favours, has it?
No, it hasn't done women any favours, hasn't done men any favours, and yeah, so I think for that reason alone...
It was just a startlingly moronic
moment. Yes, it was.
This country is turning into a moronic inferno, and it is morons like Baroness Jenny Jones who are lighting the flame.
Yeah, no, so I'm going to go for her.
Okay, then. Mm-hmm. Kevin, you want to pick mine?
Yeah, sure, mate.
Mumford & Sons, Winston Marshall, Jenny Murray and Cressida Dick.
Well, because I think it's the most topical and because I think we cannot take yet another Cressida Dick scandal. How many more times? It's not just her. It was that the predecessor was almost as bad. That Bernard Hogan Howell. I mean, these
police chiefs... He's ended up in the House of Lords as well, isn't
he? Of course. These police chiefs they appoint at the Met are turning the Metropolitan Police into a disgrace.
Yeah.
And it didn't used to be like that. It's nothing to do with the officers on the front line. It's always the idiots who are running the show. And Cressida Dick is a walking accident. It has to be stopped, so I'm going to go for Cressida Dick.
Well, let's put two women in the final
top
three.
This is really unusual. It's an interesting week. We tend to avoid, and it's just after National Women's Day.
International Women's Day.
International Women's Month.
I think that was last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's International Women's Month.
Is it? Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we should have all three of them as women. That's the way we should go.
Well, okay, right. So
what are yours?
You're choosing mine.
I'm choose yours.
Well, I've got Shamima Begum.
Yeah.
I've got Hugh Grant.
Yes.
And I've got Marks and Spencer's Chocolate Willies. Because why not?
Don't make it the Willies.
Well, you know, it's between the Willies and Hugh Grant. There's not a lot to choose, to be fair.
Same kind of thing, really.
Same kind of idea. I think the Willies are very funny, but I'm going to go with Hugh Grant.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice.
He's somebody everybody loves to hate. It also means that there's a bloke in the...
And plus, there are better things to do when you're feeling a bit grumpy. You know, go and have a pint.
Listen.
Get a pedicure, whatever.
It's really... And also, worst excuses of all time.
Yeah.
You know, when you get home and the girlfriend says, what did you do that for?
Yeah.
Oh, I was in a bad mood.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Tell you what, Hugh, I'm not swallowing it.
Yeah.
Very good.
Take the girl out the tabloid.
All right. Now, we have got the three finalists then. Cressida Dick, Hugh Grant, Baroness Jenny Jones.
Because it's more important. Cressida Dick will get my vote.
Yeah.
I think that's unanimous.
I have to agree, yeah.
Unanimous.
Yeah.
So should we give, just to split them up, should we give Hugh Grant number two and Jenny Jones number three?
No, I think Jenny Jones has to get number
two. Hugh Grant's really not that important.
Okay, then.
I mean, it was just, you know.
Yeah, you're not even important enough to be Plank of the Week, Hugh.
You're not even Splinter of the Week.
But here we are, Plank of the Week. I'm proud to announce that for a pretty awful weekend's work, Cressida Dick, head of the Metropolitan Police, you are Plank of the Week. We'll see you next time.